If you need a Bible, raise your hand and we will get one to you. Again, if you've never filled out one of the information cards, they're kind of stuck in those Bibles, so you can just ask for an information card or grab it from someone who got a Bible near you. I will not be offended if you blow into your hands or stand up in the back and do jumping jacks, whatever needs to happen to keep you warm. But this is the exact opposite of our very first time we got together, which is it was upstairs at a house and it was about 90 degrees and we were all sweating like crazy. So we've come a long ways. Now we're all cold together. What we're going to do, if you've spent a lot of time here, typically what we do is kind of march through Scripture verse by verse, and we've been working through Luke for 2.5 years or so, and we're in chapter 11, and we spent a lot of time talking through the Lord's Prayer, and so with the Christmas Advent season, we kind of stepped away from it, and we're actually going to kind of stay out of Luke for a couple more weeks here. We're going to talk a little bit about community tonight and about presence, and then we're going to talk a little bit next week along some of the deeper themes of the holiday weekend, of Martin Luther King Jr. weekend, and so we're going to kind of do something that's themed along those lines. And then the week after that is really going to be a week we want you all here for sure, but we also would be a great week for you to bring someone that maybe doesn't get what this whole thing is about because they can't pronounce the name, or maybe they've heard weird stories, or you just haven't been able to explain it well. It's going to be a week where we really kind of talk, big picture about what we're doing and what's going on and what's coming next and all those kind of things. So that'll be the next 3 weeks, and then we are going to jump right back into Luke 11 and, just go through it like grease lightning. So that's what's going on for the next couple weeks. Again, tonight I want to talk to you about community. I want to talk to you about the nature of relationships and the way this way community is intended to work. I'm beginning to think, we should have just ordered a bunch of Ecclesia Snuggies. How great would that be if everyone was just like, I'd be able to talk without hurting my back. Have you ever noticed anything they sell, oh, someone always hurts their back, whatever it is. It's like, Snuggie, I'm trying to get out of the blanket. Oh, my back hurts. Okay, that's really not the point of what I was talking about. I just got this great picture of everyone, and like, especially maybe the animal print. Snuggie, leadership team, we'll meet tomorrow. We'll talk about that, see if we can get that budget line item approved. Let's talk a little bit about relationships and about community, because I have a sense that it's an important thing for us to cover and talk about again. It's something we talked about a lot when we initially started meeting a couple years ago, and I feel like we haven't maybe quite covered it as intensely recently. So I want to talk about it again, and I want to start off, before we even get into the story you've already heard out of Mark 2, we're going to kind of talk through that story a little bit. Before we even get to that story, I want to take an even bigger step back and talk about one of the most basic issues in regards to relationships. And I want to tell you a little bit of a story that I've kind of hinted at a little bit before, but I want to share it again just because it's such a deep spiritual thing. And I want to talk to you for a few minutes about my first deep, heartfelt relationship. One of those things where I was young, but I was in deep. You know, it was heavy. It meant something. It was a girl that I was, I thought about a lot, and had pictures of her all over the place, and I would sit in my room and think about like the sweet little things I'd say that just sweep her off her feet, and the way that I would just work my mojo, and I would imagine the romantic dates we would take together, which in sixth grade it's just essentially means meeting at the roller skating rink and skating doubles to Journey or something, but I had these grand images, and this was a girl, the first girl that I really thought a lot about, and just knew that if everything could just kind of work out, man, it'd be terrific. And although I was young, and although I wasn't very far along in life, this relationship had some serious problems. Chiefly, the problem was that she never showed up. She was never there. Granted, she was very busy filming Who's the Boss. Which is a very popular show. I understand it demanded a lot of her time, but I was very convinced when I was young that if Alyssa Milano and I could just get it worked out to where we'd meet physically in some way somewhere where I'd get to shake her hand or something, it would all fall into place from there, and we'd have this really terrific relationship. I mean, I was in deep for someone who was young, but again, This little problem I had was she was never actually there, right? And it's one of those things that again, you know, talked about before, how when you're young, you don't distinguish between those different kinds of relationships, right? You know, when someone loves the person from that band or from that TV show, they actually love that person as far as they think. But what they don't know that person, right? So they don't actually love that person. They just love what they think about, they know about them, or what they've made up about that person. Not made out, that's a totally different thing. That never happened with any of the pictures I had, I promise. But it gets this very basic truth that you can't have a relationship if someone's not showing up, right? I mean, they say the basic, you know, half the battle in relationships is just being there, is just showing up. You know, they say, I heard someone who was calling in on this radio show talking to someone about being a parent, you know, and they were nervous about being a parent for the first time, and the person on the radio had, you know, been a successful parent, I guess you'd say, or whatever, and they said, look, just show up. They said, that's half the battle, just show up. When there's a game, be there if you can be there. When they, you know, when they fall and skin their knee, just show up. Just be there when you can be there. If you just show up, it's half the battle, right? And you could probably say the same of marriage, of good friendships, of all those things. You know, a lot of times we look for all these really deep secrets, and the first half of the battle is just showing up. You've got to be there. And maybe I think this is why so few of us have maybe real depth in our relationships, because we've kind of made this showing up and this being there a kind of negotiable part of relationship, right? How many friends do you have on Facebook, right? I mean, I have got a lot of friends on Facebook. I mean, I am a popular guy. I mean, if I looked at my Facebook thing and really believed those to be true friends, I would mean, it would be amazing. I mean, how could I possibly put in the time to have like 800 people that I'm really close to or something, you know? But I mean, I made the decision, you know, I was kind of late to the Facebook thing compared to a lot of people, but I made the decision when I was doing it. There's all these friend requests, and some people say, well, I say yes to them and no to them, and yes, and I say, you know, I'm not going to discriminate because none of these are like real friendships anyways. If I have a real friendship with someone, it stands outside of Facebook, and it, you know, and if I don't, then I don't have it. And there hasn't been a single person that I haven't had a real friendship with that I've met on Facebook, and now I've got a real genuine deep relationship with them. Like, you know, even those people from high school or college that suddenly, you know, friend you, and you're like, you never talked to me in high school. Why are we friends on Facebook? You know, I don't care what your kids look like. You didn't care what I looked like when I was in high school, right? But it's this idea that we have this thing now. We're showing up. We're being present. Is kind of a negotiable part of relationships. And some of the social commentators will say that this is going to end up being a big problem later on. For the generation that's growing up with this idea of what it means to be in a relationship and what friendship means, that maybe the next generation, one of the problems, one of the downsides to all this great technology we have and stuff, is going to be an inability to genuinely connect with people. Because they're only used to connecting through a screen or something, you know. And so there's a lot of people doing these, you know, scientific studies on how that affects the brain and how that affects relationships. But I think it's fair to say that we, in some ways, no longer require that whole thing of just showing up. And I'm not saying that showing up is the whole battle, but I know that the battle is always lost in regards to community and relationship without it. Remember, we just celebrated Christmas. We just celebrated the incarnation. God taking on flesh and coming to earth. This would indicate that showing up is pretty important to God as well. I bring all this up to start with because I fear we kind of have shot ourselves in the foot a little bit here as a community, and I've talked about this a little bit briefly 1 week, but I want to spend some more time on it. We talk about some things that I really believe in that I think are incredibly important for us. We talk about things like not just going to church, not just attending, but going and being the church, right? That church is not just something you come and you show up for and you get, you know, the check mark and the gold star and then you leave and that's it. But the church is something we embody throughout the week. That's important. I believe that to be true. We talk a lot about not just attending the service, but worshiping with our lives, you know, based on Romans 12:1. Again, totally true. I really believe that. But I feel like somehow we've managed to undersell this first important step to any relationship. And that's what this is. This is a community. This is a relationship. And that first step is, you got to show up. I think that is what is intended with this community. I mean, the body of Christ is in relationship with each other, working together to wash the feet of the world, right? But we got to show up. The fact is that no one can really be in a community with those they never see. just like I could never actually be the boyfriend of Alyssa Milano because we'd never met. Any more so than, you know, that person that you met at camp that was just your best friend for 4 days and you said, oh, we're going to keep in touch, and you have no idea where that person was from there on out, because relationships require presence. Any more than some of you had a biological father or mother that was no father or mother at all to you, because presence, showing up, is a prerequisite to the community. Now, I know your first thoughts when you hear someone standing on a Sunday talking about this, they are trying to boost their numbers, they're trying to raise some money, we're being manipulated somehow, what's going on? Why is he all of a sudden really talking about me showing up on a Sunday night or showing up to the things we're doing when it's not ever been important before? So let me kind of put some of that to rest. None of those things are true. The fact is I've never actually counted how many people are here. So we're not trying to grow our numbers because we have no numbers to grow. We can't pad the stats we don't have. So I legitimately have no idea how many people show up here on a numbers basis. And to be perfectly honest, and we may be the one kind of community that can say this, I mean, based on what I'm hearing from other ministers, but we're not hurting for money either. Like, we're really fine. In a couple of weeks, we'll talk more about things, but this year we had a budget set up, and we ended up bringing in 147% of the budget. And we ended up spending a total as a community of about $120,000 last year, and only 40 of that was on us, and that includes my salary. The rest of it, about $80,000, went outside of our walls to Hawkins, to Haiti Water Project, to the Habitat for Humanity, to whatever other things were going on outside of our walls. That includes Sharon's salary, who spends all of her days at Hawkins working with kids. And so the fact is, we spent way more money than we intended on it, because that was 120 was way above our budget. But we brought in plenty to cover it, and all of it was going outside the walls anyways. I mean, you're looking at everything we own right here, basically, that projector and screen. I took that on a retreat this weekend for some ministers, and they said, who brought this stuff? I said, you mean the church? I brought it. This is everything we own right here. This is our bricks and mortar. We're good. So don't break it. Otherwise, we don't have anything left. So we're not trying to get your money. We're not trying to build the stats we don't keep. That is not the point of me harping on this idea of showing up. I'm simply telling you the truth about relationships and community, that basic thing we all know, but I think we tend to skip over sometimes. They cannot work if you're not here. And this is basic, but it is really, really important. Let's open up our Bibles to Mark 2, and let's talk through this. Now that we've talked about that really basic, no-duh kind of thing in regards to relationships and community, this little story in Mark 2 is one that you're probably very familiar with. You've probably heard a lot of things taught from it, and we are by no means going to really dig into the entire thing. I just want to draw some real broad strokes kind of ideas about what community is from this passage. And it is in Mark, which some of you may not be able to find because it's not Luke, but it's real close, so you're almost there. Just take a left at Luke and you'll get there. Mark 2, and we're going to start in the very beginning and just read a portion of the story and then talk about a couple things. It says this, Mark 2, verses 1 through 5. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered there that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by the four of them. Since they could not get to him, to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the man was paralyzed. The paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And the story goes on, and there's a lot more important stuff that goes on there. So I'm not. We're going to shortchange it, admittedly. But I want to kind of stop there and think about a couple things. I know you've heard a lot about this story, but I want to look at just a couple broad strokes thing. I mean, the first thing, of course, we could talk about is, in fact, that the people in this story showed up, right? When Jesus was there, they showed up. This first, most basic, important thing that we were just talking about. Have you ever thought about this? Have you ever thought that all these stories we read about in the New Testament, that there was someone that just didn't show up for it? Like, to me, that's a really weird thought, to think that wherever Jesus was at, where he'll know exactly where it was. Let's say, you know, he's at, you know, 12, you know, Walnut Street, whatever, I don't know if they had Walnut Street back there, but he's at this house or wherever he's at, and he's doing this teaching. There was probably someone two doors down that maybe got invited, and they went, eh, I got a lot to do. Like, they just didn't show up. I mean, there was people that literally walked past God in the flesh and didn't make eye contact or were busy thinking about something else or going another direction, and they just missed it. Like, for some reason, that idea to me is just crazy. Like, that, you know, the next-door neighbor would later on look out and go, so what exactly was going on there, you know, that I missed? So, oh, it was just God. No big deal. You know, it was just God. Paralyzed guy, and they healed him, and it was, they dug through the roof, and we're going to have to get that fixed, but it was awesome. It was worth it, you know. And they just missed it, right? And so even that very basic idea that they showed up, we have there. But in the broadest sense, I think this story reminds us of why we do what we do as a community, what the whole point of this endeavor is. The truth is that we encounter Christ in the context of community. This is something we talk about a lot, but we should talk about it every chance we have. This story is a beautiful image of the fact that what we are endeavoring to do can only be done together. It's a communal activity. This is not a story about an individual who needs something from Jesus and gets it. This is a story of what happens, of the healing that happens when friends have faith together. Look again at verse 5. This is one of the more interesting little passages, and I don't even really know what to do with this if you begin carrying it out theologically, so this may open some deep questions for you that I quite honestly can't answer. But it's such a profound statement to me. Look what it says again in verse 5. When Jesus saw, what does it say? Their faith. So the four people holding the mat, the person on the mat, when he saw all of their faith, he said to the paralytic, Son, your sins are forgiven. When he saw their faith, his sins were forgiven. And later on in the story, his body healed, right? This encounter, this whole thing is set up by relationship, by community. This whole thing is brought about by their faith. Their faith brought forgiveness and healing for the paralytic. And that's just a very different way than I was ever brought up thinking about faith. And to be honest, I'm not entirely sure what to do with something like that. Now, you know, what that means as you carry it all the way out. We tend to think about only our personal relationships. But Scripture makes it very clear that our relationships with each other have everything to do with our relationships with God. The two greatest commandments, love the Lord your God, and the second one is like it, love your neighbor as yourself, right? They go together. They're somehow connected. So community, relationships with each other, is of paramount importance to God. He saw their faith. So now let's put ourselves in the story for a moment to talk about maybe why community is so important. I think this is a good thing to do whenever you're reading a story in the Bible. I do this. This is a way helps me to kind of maybe imagine it and see things a little different and talk about it a little different. It's just put yourself in the story. If I was one of the characters in this story, who would I be and why? And really think through that. So go ahead and do that. Think about the scenario. Here's the Son of God teaching a group of people. And then you have these two groups. You have the four guys that are carrying you. You have the person on the mat coming before Jesus to be healed. Who would you be in this story? Do you come to this place tonight feeling more like a person who has a strong back, you know, a full belly, doing pretty well in life, everything is going well? Are you that kind of person, someone that could pick up a corner of a mat and have no problem carrying it? Or are you the one on the mat? You come in tonight feeling beat up, hungry, unable to do anything for yourself, you feel like, unable to walk on your own, who would you be in the story? Now, I would bet that if you're honest, depending on the night, you'd be like how I would have to answer this, and the fact is I'm both. It just kind of depends on the day. Right, there are days when I'm with you guys and I feel like I could carry everyone on my back if I had to. Let's not try it, but I just feel, you know, you just come in sometimes, some days it feels strong, you feel close, you feel like you're where you should be and things are going the way they should go. Right, and then there's days like today for me. And it's days when I'm with you guys and I look forward to seeing you guys because I feel like I need at least four sets of hands to get me going, right? I can't do it on my own. I can be either person at any given time during any given season, I'm both those people. And the truth is, we need both those people for this community to work the way it's intended to work. And I think we tend to forget this. And here's something that happens with us, I think, as part of our human nature or something. I think we tend to forget this. And either you are only here when you're strong and you withdraw when you're weak, or you're here when you're weak and you get out of town when your legs work. I think a lot of times we as people fall into one of those two camps. And I'm telling you, this is just generally how it works when it comes to community. You have that first set of people that disappear when the going gets tough, right? You have the first set of people that are here when things are going well, and they're singing the songs and they're shaking people's hands and they're excited to be here and they're feeling good about it. They are here, and they're ready to do some lifting if they got to do some lifting. But then maybe something comes down the pike. Maybe they mess up. Maybe there's some moral failing that they have, or some more, struggle that they're having, or maybe there's loss that they have in their life, or there's just something they don't know what to do with, a struggle they don't know how to deal with, and things aren't going so well, and suddenly they're gone. And you know these people, right? You have friends that work that way. When you stop hearing from them and you stop seeing, you got to hunt them down because something's not right, right? Because they're struggling. Because they're all about being in community when they're one of the ones that can lift, but they don't want anything to do with it when they're the ones that need to be lifted. And then you have this other set of people who only show up when they're hurting, right? They have a specific need or a struggle or lice or a loss or some kind of crisis, maybe lice. When it's cold, my tongue doesn't work. I'm Floridian. But they have this thing that's going on, this tragedy in their life or this struggle, and they come here and they seek out prayer and they seek out support and friendship because life is just too tough to do it alone. And then when the light at the end of the tunnel finally comes, we don't see them again until maybe everything falls apart again. I used to work with a group of young adults that were not married, and if someone disappeared from the scene, you could almost guarantee one of two things happened when they disappeared. Either they found a boyfriend and or girlfriend, or they lost a boyfriend and or girlfriend, depending on which kind of person they were. You had some, as soon as they met someone, they showed up. And of course, they showed up with the person, and they're very excited to be there, and man, they were on fire for church or whatever was going on. And then, when that relationship ended, never saw them again. Or you had people that did the opposite. As soon as they, felt lonely or felt like something didn't work out right or the relationship didn't work, then they were there and they were really engaged and all this kind of stuff. Then all of a sudden, you wouldn't see them for like months on end. And then on Facebook, their status would change and the picture would change and there was bunnies and they were running in fields with dandelions. And it was like, life is great right now. I've met someone. I don't need to be at church anymore, right? And I think we tend to be, and maybe you can diagnose yourself. I don't know. Maybe you're not firmly in one of those camps or the other. But I think the thing that we forget is that we need both. We need people to be present. We need people here regardless of where you're at, regardless of which person you are in this story. The lesson of community in this story is that both sets of people need to be present for the miracle to happen. Without the people of strength, the invalid never gets to Jesus' feet. Without the invalid, the people of strength have no mission through which they can demonstrate their love. On any given day, it's the same with this community. If those of you that are beat up, hurting, and can't walk alone don't join us and make your needs known, you will not find the healing that can happen, the miracles that can happen in a context of a community of people that care and love you. If those of you whose backs are strong this week don't feel the need to be here because everything is going well, then those in this community that are suffering are hurt because you're not here, because there's no one there to help with the lifting. This is what community is supposed to be. This is what we're supposed to be for each other, and this is what we're supposed to be for the community outside of this place. We're supposed to be a group of people that are present with each other, that do life together. The fact is, we can't really be a part of the community if we're not here. And it means being here when we're doing well and we're strong so we can help those that aren't. And it means being here when we are weak and broken and beat up and have failed miserably so we can benefit from the strength of those around us. And when that kind of community comes together, we find ourselves at the feet of Jesus watching miracles happen. This is why we want to ask you to win the first half of the battle this year and just show up. If you're doing well, show up. If you're dying inside, show up. Show up on Sunday nights, show up for small groups, show up at Hawkins or whatever it is that you're serving, just show up. Be there when you're strong or be there when you're unique, because either way, we need you. And so I put this before you again because I feel like we've maybe shortchanged some of that idea with some of the other things that we've been very excited about and that I very much believe in about our community. And again, I don't know where you're at when you come in tonight. I mean, I don't know if you're laying on the mat and got nothing left, or if you're ready to go run a marathon right now. But wherever you're at, we need you here. And again, half the battle is just showing up, and the other half is just opening your eyes, looking at those around you, and doing whatever you can. Again, something we do each week is we take part in communion. And communion is, if nothing else, it's a celebration of the fact that God believes in showing up. If nothing else, it's a demonstration of God's love for us and God's relationship with us. And God says the distance is not okay. And it's also a demonstration of the miracles that happen when that kind of love, when that kind of relationship can occur. And we celebrate, and when we celebrate communion, we celebrate that relationship that we have with God, and we celebrate that relationship that we have amongst each other as well. Because a big part of communion is taking it together. This last Christmas, we did a drive-through communion at a church with some family. And it was pretty much pointless. There might as well have been a window we ordered from, kind of thing, you know? And Sarah and I were just kind of laughing, like, man, like I love taking communion each week. Like, I love seeing you guys serve each other the body and the blood. I love seeing you guys, you know, do this together and serve those things together and celebrate communion together. And we're like, it just doesn't quite have the same ring to it if you just kind of, you know, it's kind of the Facebook of communion was what it was. It was just kind of, you know, it didn't really have the intimacy that was supposed to be there. So tonight, as you come up here, remember how important it is to God and to everyone in this room that it just shows up. Remember the incarnation. That relationship needs to take form in flesh and blood to be present among us. Think about what your role might be in this place. Why don't you go ahead and stand up? Those of you that are serving the elements can go ahead and walk up, and we're gonna pray, and then the communion table will be open to whoever wants to take part. If you don't want to take part, that's fine as well. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we are so thankful that you showed up. We are so thankful that you were truly present. That you attended the whole thing. And Lord, we ask that as we gather here, as we take part in your communion, Lord, that we would remember your example of incarnation, Lord, and that we would take it upon ourselves to show up in this world. To put flesh and blood to those things we believe in. And Lord, our prayers for every person in this room right now, Lord, who feels like they are on the mat, everyone in this room that feels like they've got no strength left, they got nothing to offer, Lord, may they find strength in this communion. And Lord, for those of us in this room that are doing well right now, that feel strong right now, Lord, may we have the eyes to see those who are hurting around us, and may we do our part to lift a corner of the mat. Lord, we do love you so much. We are thankful for this opportunity. We ask all things in your name. Amen. Thanks again for being here and braving the cold weather. Don't forget, leadership team, we have a meeting tomorrow. Next week, again, we'll be celebrating some of the deeper themes of the Martin Luther King Jr. weekend. So we hope we will see you again. And as you venture into this week, maybe ask yourself what it might mean to be truly present where you're at this week. When you have opportunity, help pick up a corner of the mat of those who need it. And if you're in need, don't hesitate to ask. Peace be with you. Have a great week.